Om Shanti. Good morning. Warm welcome to all of you, and especially to Gayatri Ben and to Pratibha Ben, who are joining us in conversation this morning. And our topic is a very interesting one. Moving from transactional to transformational awareness. So really implying a lot of self-effort, I would imagine. We look forward to hearing from them. Gayatri Ben lives in New York, though she was born in Guyana. In 1980, she came into knowledge, and subsequently focusing on values-based and spiritual dimensions of individuals' lives, she is our representative at the United Nations in New York. She also serves on the board of directors of Images of Hope and Peace, and is part of the design team for Call of the Time. For the Call of the Time dialogue. And she has authored a number of, co-authored a number of publications, including The Story of Immortality, which I'm sure everyone either knows or has. And Sister Pratibha Ben, she's joining Gayatri Ben in conversation. She's from South Africa. And she very humbly has said that she's on the board of directors and part of the NC team, but she's involved in a lot of international planning, planning for international events and programs. So I'm sure that we'll have a very good experience with them for the next hour or so. Thank you.
So we've been reminded to go slow so that the translators can catch up with us. And when I heard of this topic, transactional to transformational awareness, there were many thoughts that were coming in my mind as to what was triggering this for you. So I thought we're good place to start off with is where's your thought coming from? What triggered this whole theme for you in terms of transactional to transformation? What do you mean by it? Some of them have been asking me, please ask Sister Gayatri, what does she mean by it? Yeah.
You know, when first of all, good morning, and Om Shanti, and how are you doing this morning? Good? Well, thank you for showing up, right, and being here, because something must have been triggered in you to come and be part of this morning session, because when you hear it, the words transactional and transformation, it sounds very heady, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It sounds as though, gosh, I don't want to think about that. It's so like, what is that all about? But to answer Sister Pratibha's question, I think it's intended to be like an entry point into exploring these two types of awareness. It's like when you are making efforts, at least when I'm making my efforts, it is important for me to engage at two levels. One is at the level of understanding, and the other is at the level of knowing that understanding, like am I aware of what I'm understanding? Is it creating an awareness within me?
Mm.
And if I am aware of what I'm understanding, then I'm aware of what are my efforts doing for me. Are my efforts making me better? Are my efforts tiring me? Are my efforts confusing me? Are my efforts becoming something that is boring, is monotonous, is everyday, and is something that I'm taking for granted? Are my efforts stimulating me? Are my efforts engaging me into deeper realizations about Baba as a being in my life and about myself? So transactional and transformation became obvious to me when I was engaging with the International Day of Yoga. We all know that the 21st of June has been declared as the International Day of Yoga. And as I was thinking of what differentiates the Brahma Kumari's yoga from everybody else's yoga, what is the one thing that we practice that no one else practices, and we call it yoga? So as I was contemplating on this, because one of the things of serving for me is not to say what everybody else is saying, but to say exactly what Baba is saying. And so I realized that yoga is a field in which transformation takes place. So the only way transformation can take place, transformation and purification, these two can take place, it's when I am in yoga with Baba. Change will be taking place, and change is inevitable. But transformation takes place in yoga. So yoga, Raj Yoga, yoga with God, not with virtues, not with the elements, not with karma, not with anything else, yoga with Baba is that transformative field. So that was when it all started for me. And the second thing that occurred for transactional, it's when Baba says, check and change. And I realized that the awareness one has when I'm in yoga to transform my sanskaras, as opposed to check and change, when I'm checking my thoughts in order to change my thoughts, were two very different types of awareness. Mm-hmm. So when I was checking to change, it was always transactional. But when I was in yoga, in remembrance with Baba, it was transformation.
Mm-hmm.
So this is how it all started.
Mm-hmm. So it's almost like transactional is like that moment to moment awareness that I create, or that kind of pause that I create to see myself. And transformational is more like when I'm absorbed in the experience, and the experience takes me to a higher level of awareness. So when you were speaking about how your efforts you were observing, what awareness it creates for you, is it in a way where you're looking at it as like what experience? Can you equate it as what experience it's creating for you, what feeling it's creating for you, that it shifts you into that? Because when we feel something, it changes our perception, the way we see things, our outlook. So it's not just I think about, but it's like the heart opens to a different reality. Is that what you implying?
Yeah, I think Baba, in today's Murli, he kind of explained what I'm saying. Because he says, yoga is yoga, knowledge is knowledge.
Mm.
It's two very different subjects. So transactional is usually when I am, you know, transactional is you do this and I will do this.
Mm.
It's like a deal. It's like a bargain. So I would say, you know, I'm making my efforts so that I can listen to this person better. That for me is transactional.
Mm-hmm.
I am making efforts so I can communicate clearly.
Mm-hmm.
So transaction isn't, it is not bad.
Mm-hmm.
It both are needed because we both, you know, we do both. But are we aware that we're doing both?
Mm-hmm.
This is the point. It's more like you are strategizing a plan, and the plan is, this is what efforts I will make because this is what I want and this is the outcome. So that's transactional.
Mm.
That's what transactional is all about. But transformational is, for me, okay, I want to learn to listen better, but I'm not going to do it in with a transactional awareness, with an outcome, so that when I speak, everyone will understand me clearly, or when I speak, I'm going to impact people with my words. That would be transactional.
Mm.
Transformational is, I would remember Baba. I would then take what he's saying in the Murli, the method, understand the method, and then I would connect to Baba, and then I would go into remembering him. Because I know in that remembering of God, transformation is taking place within me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once that transformation has shifted my sanskaras from the acquired sanskaras of 6 to 3 births and allow me to taste, allow me to experience, as you said, my original or my eternal, then I'm not making the effort to experience my original or eternal.
Mm.
That's emerging because I'm connecting to the source who emerges what is original and eternal within me. So I don't know how it will then take on an expression.
Mm. It's like a natural flow.
It will be a natural flow
out
of that, exactly. And that for me is transformational. Mm. Now the difference is for me in my, you know, looking at myself, I won't call it an experiment, but just observing myself, is that if it is transactional, in the split of a second, I go back to my old sanskaras. And so I would say, gosh, I thought I mastered this.
Mm.
I thought I completely could listen to people so without conditions, so without expectations. And then all of a sudden, I'm listening to someone and bam, goes the judgment.
Mm.
Bam goes the condition, bam goes the expectation. And I said, gosh, that was transactional. That was a transactional effort I made. But if it was transformational, it is a complete thing that has happened. I never go back to my old patterns. It's as though the old patterns have completely been removed and was replaced with the natural patterns of the soul. And so nothing deceives me then. Nothing gets in the way. And so I'm my natural self always. So that's how I know.
You know, when I heard this topic, I was remembering a quotation from the Gita that Sister Moni once shared with me. And in the Gita, it always speaks of tamoguni, rajoguni, sattoguni. And the description she shared with me was, sattoguni is like, I care, because that's what I am. Rajoguni is, I care because it's good to care, or I want to be seen as a caring person, or whatever. And tamoguni is, I don't care. That's it, you know? And so, in a way for me, transaction is still coming from that rajopradan, rajoguni stage. It's not the sattoguni stage. And once there was a soul that was sharing with me that she once told Daddy, that, Daddy, when I look at this soul and I see what she does, I realize what I mustn't do. And Daddy told her, that's tamoguni effort. Because you don't make effort as a reaction to someone else's sanskaras. So I think what I'm sensing from you in a way is our transition now, in a way, from that Rajo way of making effort, where we looking at immediate results, to moving into that stage of making effort, where it's just a natural emergence, a natural feeling, or a natural pure sanskara that we're giving rise to, without feeling or without trying to work it out. But that let Baba's love pull us into that higher awareness, as you were sharing so beautifully on Saturday. Yeah.
But I see it is that. It is the Sato, Rajo and Tamo. So I could be making Tamo Pradhan efforts. I could be making Rajo Pradhan efforts, or I could be making Sato Pradhan efforts. But it's all connected with what do I believe in? Not my belief system. That's different. That's dogmatic. But what do I believe in? For me, Tamo Pradhan is, Baba has told me something about myself. I like it, but I really don't believe it. The Rajo Pradhan one is, Baba has told me something about myself, and I half believe it. But the Sato Pradhan effort making is, Baba has told me something about myself, and I absolutely believe it. So what I believe in, invariably, that will motivate me to do something. So the transactional for me is, I think all Brahmins wouldn't be Tamo Pradhan, because I don't think that we don't care at all, but it would be more Rajo Pradhan, in which I know what I need to be in this moment, but I don't want to be it. I know that I shouldn't be doing this at this moment. And I'm telling myself, but I go ahead, right ahead, and do exactly what I know I shouldn't be doing. So that's transactional, in which there's a transaction happening. It's telling you not to do something. You're telling yourself not to do something, but you go right ahead and do exactly what you're telling yourself not to do. And but the transformative is, okay, I shouldn't do this, and I wouldn't do this, but the only way I'm not going to do it, it's if I go into yoga with Baba. If I put myself into that transformative field, which is connecting to one, And this month of February, we are having solitude, concentration and unity. So it's like that. I'm putting the soul in the hands of God, and God is transforming that uncertainty within me to a certainty to do what is right, to be what I need to be in that moment. But if I don't shift and go to Baba and connect to Baba, then I wouldn't get the power to do it. I will be depending on my own power to do it, and my power is still in the duality. It's still in the power being drawn from the acquired sanskaras, and power wanting to connect to the original and eternal sanskaras. So there is this tension within me. But to remove the tension and to take the side and to step into the side of my authentic self, I do need power from Baba, from the source. But we sometimes forget to do that. And so I always say, you know, someone actually, it wasn't mine, but someone said when he was talking about this, that transactional and transformational is a little bit like if you use computer language, which most of us would relate to, is transactional, you're upgrading your software. Transformational is you're creating a new software.
Right. Okay.
Right, so what is it you want? An upgrade or a completely new software inside? So transformational, you're working with the mind. Transactional, you're working with the mind. Transformational, you're working with the soul as a whole being. Not just your mind. Not just the thought as they appear in your mind. But you're working with the thoughts as they appear in the mind. The thoughts as they appear in the intellect, which is a higher level, and then your sanskaras. So you're doing the deeper work. And another example of transactional and transformational is, transactional is the life I want to live. The life I can see, feel, touch, hear. Everything that's connected with my senses and how I could be a better person and how I can live in this world and how I can respond to the critical times and how I can find solutions. It's issue-based, it's solution-based, it's problem-based, it's world-based, it's all of that. And so it becomes transactional. But transformational is the life that is wanting to be lived. There's a life within me that really wants to be lived, that Baba refers to as your angelic and your divine. And it really wants to be lived. It inspires me. Now, that life that wants to be lived is your transformation. It's the deep work that you have to do.
Yeah. You know, as I'm listening to you and some of my own reflections, it really feels that, like where we are right now, and ultimately it is about stepping into that level of self-respect that Baba wants us to have. You know, so it's like we know, and we have the gyan that we have been receiving from Baba from so long, and it's almost like we at the point where we need to step into that vision that Baba has of us, that that stage that Baba sees us as. You know, as he said, you are my lovely children, you are my my shaktis, or however he sees us. And what has been for you that process, in a way, to move from that awareness into acceptance? Because I think that's where often the challenge is. You know, we know of, we like it, but there's a part of us that doesn't accept it fully. And so what has been your way of working through that? Because I think it's many souls are challenged by that, you know. We know what Baba wants of us, but there's like an internal resistance inside.
I think it doesn't happen instantly. What happens instantly is this thing called liberation in a second, or realization in a second. We all come to Baba, and there will be a second or a couple of seconds periodically in our lives that we will catch a glimpse of what he is telling us about ourselves. Mm. And in that glimpse, it's as though, or I would say in that drop, it's like the promise of an ocean. Mm. It's like I had a glimpse of something and I saw the whole thing. I had a drop of water and I realize how dehydrated I am, and I want more. So that we all have, but what that is telling us is the potential is within you. And if you can have a glimpse of something, it tells you that there's more of it inside of you. And all you need to do is to bring it out. Mm. Now, I feel that the human side of us is so strong that we got a glimpse from Baba of who we are and what he is to us and what he wants from us at the confluence age. But then, suddenly, you know, it's like a mirror with two, it's like a wall with two sides, and mirror are on both sides. One is the mirror of Baba that we look at ourselves in, and the other is the mirror of the family or the world that we look ourselves in. And then we start looking toward human beings to appreciate us, to acknowledge us, and to amplify the glimpse or the drop. And that's where the disappointment comes. Mm. Because we're looking at our fellow human beings to now help us bring these glimpses of what we had from Baba to reality. And then Baba is saying, no, don't do that. Keep looking at me. Because only I can appreciate, I can acknowledge, appreciate, and amplify it for you. But we don't do that. And I think this is why we don't believe what he's saying. Because we're looking for human beings to make that possible for us. And it doesn't happen that way. Because human beings will always disappoint us. Because they're effort makers. Like we are. And so that's where the disappointment comes, I feel. And so, like Baba was saying, when was it? The first. There's a difference between lovely and lovely. Mm. Now, the first time I met Baba, it was in Pandav Bhavan in the history hall. And he was sitting on the floor. And my parents and my family had come, the Lokik family, and we were sitting in front of Baba. And Baba literally had to say, come close, come close, because it was such a strange experience for us. So we're coming close, we came close to Baba. And I remember taking that drishti very close from Baba. And the realization that I had in that moment was, Baba, you were the same Baba I was remembering. Mm. You feel and look like the same person I was remembering when I was the seven seas away from you, when I was in Guyana. And so in that moment, it was as if I merged into this love of God. Because there was a recognition that he was the same person I was remembering, and here I am meeting that same person that I was remembering, and the meeting happened, and it clinched the relationship. And that for me was like the love lean that he was talking about. The lovely that he was talking about, I also experienced. Because of that moment, I felt he always had my back. You know what's having your back? He was always there for you. He would always do what you want him to do for you. He would always show up when you wanted him to show up. He would always be present when you called on him. So that's someone having your back, a dependable person. And then I became the lovely child. Okay, Baba, it's all right. I can do this. Because you know me so well that it will be easy for you to understand why I'm doing this. And I was a lovely child. So this is what he's saying, that many of us come into that category of being lovely, but very few of us stay being lovely. Lovely means that moth, you know, the story of the moth and the flame. Mm. The moth that came and saw the flame and flew back to the moth assembly and said to the secretary general of the moths, I saw the flame, I saw the flame. That's being lovely. The moth, the second moth, said, I just didn't see the flame, but I felt the heat of the flame. So I went closer to the flame. So I felt the flame. But the third moth flew right into the flame and sacrificed. So I think that for me, being lovely or being lost in this love that Baba was talking about, which is transformative and not transactional. The other one is always transactional. Baba, you do this for me and I'll do that for you. Baba, I will drive my car without gas and you will take me to my destination in a car without gas. Baba, I will do this and you will take care of it. I will take this risk and you will have to take care of it. Baba, I'm buying this house and you will get me the money. Because it's for your service, totally transactional. Mm. But to really be merged in what he's saying and really allow myself to be that instrument requires a surrender that many of us don't have, because our intellect, the I and mine in the intellect, is so strong that the I and my that Baba talks about is transactional. It's definitely transactional. And so I feel that it requires us to do the deeper work, which we are not doing. Mm. Maybe we don't know how to do it, but it requires it.
Yeah. It's almost like until we totally surrender that I, there will always be a subtle transaction.
Yes.
And it's not just a transaction with Baba, but it's even a transaction between us, you know, in terms of service and whatever the case may be, that there's always a subtle form of a return we're expecting in our engagement.
Yeah. But, and that's why, coming back to your question, that is why we don't accept what he's saying. Because that was your question. Why is it we don't accept what he's saying? Because we haven't surrendered the I and mine.
Yeah.
The moment we do that, we will definitely accept what
he's saying. Yeah. The one aspect that you were sharing that I liked was, you know, in order for our efforts to be transformational, how we need to keep, like, drawing on that connection with Baba. And how can we make sure that there is that purity in that connection and not the transactional aspect of it. You know, like, what's the checking point for the self? Because that is where we need to be, mm-hmm. but we're so conditioned in the transactional way of doing things. So what's your checking points?
I would say try the meditation commentaries. If I sit and I connect to Baba and someone is doing a meditation commentary for me, it's transactional. I'm listening to the thoughts of someone else, filtered through someone else's intellect, and I'm using that mm-hmm. to connect to Baba. Put that aside. Try Baba's drill. Baba does a lot. He does his own meditation commentaries with us, and he calls them Bapdada's drills. I've been doing it for the whole month of ever since I was with Nirbhir Bhai, and I experienced his transition. Something shifted in me because it was a moment I never thought I would ever, ever experience. And I said, this is a big message for me. This is something that Baba just and drama didn't just put me here. And I started, in order to recalibrate, in order to stabilize myself again, I started listening to Baba's drills. And in Baba's drill, all he does is say, now, in 1 second, do this. I am an incorporeal, bodiless being. He says it. Then he holds you in silence. That silence that Baba holds us in is the transformational space. Because he's holding us. No one's words are holding us. No one's words are coming into my ears and touching the soul, because I'm still being touched by human thought coming into their words. But Baba holds me in his silence. And he holds me in my self-respect. And if I do that 13 times a day, I get it.
Okay. Right.
I get it because that's what I started doing.
Right.
So then I became very proud of my effort. Then I started a chart. Before, I didn't know after all these years, how do I write my chart? What do I write in my chart? I give this one sorrow, or I didn't give that one sorrow, or I said this, or I did. All transactional. But when I started playing the drills, and you get them now on YouTube, you get them in English, and you get them in Hindi, pure Hindi, and then in the sustenance, the BK sustenance that we had created, they have them like 15 minutes, so you could also do 15 minutes. On the YouTube, you have them like 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 10 minutes. But it's Bapdada's voice in both. And then there's music supplementing it. It's absolutely transformative because nothing, there's interference of no human vibrations. And I feel that that's the best thing I've seen so far that helps. We're taking us into that.
And have you found that it's also like helping to develop that concentration? Because it's about hearing Baba's voice and then holding that. You know, because I think that's when you feel the connection as well, isn't it?
Yeah. You feel a connection with someone who knows you better than you know yourself. And better than anyone else who knows you. You're feeling a connection with someone who knows your past, present and future. You're feeling a connection with someone you don't have to pretend to be anyone else but yourself. So it's a comfort zone that you enter. It's a zone that gives you permission to be who you are. Then another thing is that when Baba says these words in one line, because you're in this comfort zone of his love, because his silence is not an empty silence. Mm-hmm. His silence is a presence, and it's his presence, which is a presence that is full of all attainments, which is a presence that is a fearless presence, which is a presence that is a loving presence, which is a presence that is a forgiving presence. And so you're in that presence now, and you are, he enters into your space in a way, and he's helping you to reaffirm the things that are true about you, the things that are authentic about you. And he's holding you in that space like a parent would hold a child and say, this is who you are. Mommy is here for you. Daddy is here for you. And this is who you are. Don't ever believe what anybody else says about you, because you're not that. I am telling you who you are. So believe me. Don't believe anyone else. So it's that kind of nurturing space that he takes us into. But it's not just concentration, it's a reaffirmation that is taking place. And that is, he's not just reaffirming this is who we are, but he's reaffirming the faith in us. A faith that tells us this is who we are. So we then have faith in ourselves. And we have faith in him.
And how have you seen that through this practice? How has it then give an expression to how you respond to the world around you? Because that connection with Baba shifts things in us.
Yeah.
And as it shifts things in us, it shifts the way we respond to the world. So how have you seen that playing itself out?
How it has impacted me is I want others to feel the presence of Baba.
Mm-hmm.
And I live in a country that things are really having an impact on people in a very, very fundamental way. And they don't know who to go to.
Mm-hmm.
Brahmins I'm talking about. So when something happens suddenly that crashes their world, they want someone. And when they turn to me, I give them time. And what happens in that moment, it's everything falls away. Why it happened, how it happened, where it happened, to whom it happened, cause and effect, consequences, nothing matters. All that matters is this person. And all I need to do is create this transformative space. It's like Baba's drill space, I call it. Baba's drill space. And I put them there, and I hold them and let them talk. And I'm silent. And in their talking, what is amazing is that they themselves will come up with their spiritual incompetency, that they couldn't deal with the situation, and what it is they need to make effort to do better. But this is when I realized, because I recently did it, and I realize that you take them into that space of, that transformative space is a fearless space. in which I'm not afraid of anything because Baba is with me.
Mm-hmm.
And Baba will take care of me. Now, this strength that I will take from this space, I have to go back now and help others with, who have become the victims of a law that just passed, for instance.
Mm.
And I can't just help myself and stay away in my own little cocoon and move into so what about others. But I also have to help others.
Mm. Mm.
But I am now helping others from Baba's drill space.
Mm.
So that I can bring them into that drill space too.
Mm-hmm.
So that they can let go of their fear and they could see ultimately who is in charge of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I accountable to ultimately? And this is why Baba says, layer by layer, everything you have taken support from in this world will fall away. Will fall apart from you, and you will be left in his drill space. And that's where you need to be. You will get all the strength and support, and Baba will make sure he takes care of you. So that is how it impacted me.
Mm.
So now it doesn't matter who says what. You shouldn't listen to people. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. It's just like throwing water on a duck's back for me. It doesn't impact me. Because I know I have to be there. I know this is the role I have to be playing now. I know this is what Baba wants for me. And it doesn't matter what human beings think or feel or what they say about it. It doesn't matter to me.
Mm-hmm.
And where did that come from? I suppose it came from Nirmal Bai's, what was it, the 19th of October to now. Because I've been consistently doing something, it may have been preparing me for these moments. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to go strategizing and transactional plan of why it happened now.
You know, it reminds me of what Baba had shared on Saturday the 1st, that what he wants from us now is like to have good wishes.
Mm-hmm.
And to create through our drishti and attitude powerful atmosphere and to serve souls in that way, in the way. And it's almost like what you're sharing is like the method of good wishes.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not like I'm giving you a good wish, but it's almost like I'm creating that space through my own practice of being with Baba so that that soul can tap into that space. Or that atmosphere to take power from Baba. Because ultimately our role is to help the soul take power from God directly, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And not just connect to me.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
then I am robbing the soul. I'm,
Yeah.
I'm not
yeah.
honest.
Yeah. One other thing that I really liked from Saturday's Murli again, when Baba said that... you have the aim to become equal to me. And he said that is really to be generous-hearted like him.
Right.
I really liked that. It touched me in a way. And that no matter where the soul is, the generosity in your heart is that they can be the best. You know, and so when I looked at this thing of transformational, because transactional will be almost in a way where we categorize a soul, or, you know, where we think they are at. But transformational is being generous, unlimited, and unlimited in the vision of another as well.
Yeah.
So I liked your practice because one can only do that if you fool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So any other thoughts around that?
I don't know, but I'm curious to know how everybody else is hearing this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if they have thoughts about it.
So if anyone has questions, comments, any inputs, there's a mic around it. Yeah.
Thank you, Gayatri Ben. That's extraordinary. It's like just dying alive in that flame. That's what you are saying, so thank you. But the question I have is that since COVID, there are so many BKs have created so many YouTube commentaries, this, that, and everything. And what I have been seeing in our centers and is that Brahmins are listening to just that, like paying less and less attention on Murli. Even whether it is Sakam Muli or Avyakta Muli, Baba provides everything we need, but how do we help them to come back to the Muli, come back to listen to Baba alone? What should we do? Thank you.
That's a good question, because the internet is the World Wide Web. WWW, that's what it means. So it's a world of, it's a spider's web. And the World Wide Web is a lot of spiders creating webs, right? So it's a creepy, crawly world. And it's an addictive world, right? And we've got trapped in it. So one of the things I also did, I was never an internet person. I find Google convenient, but outside of that, I was not. So I don't have a strong social network. I don't have a social platform in terms of a strong profile out there. And so in that trap, everyone has got a different relationship with the World Wide Web. And everyone has created their own. The spider has created its own web within the web. I can only tell you what I did. And what I did during this period of time that I became like underground, and I think I'm going more and more underground, is I cancelled all the accounts. And I'll tell you one thing that I learned. It wasn't that easy to cancel my accounts. I had to get a whiz, a tech whiz, to do it for me. And he spent about 3 weeks. Just because you go deeper, it's not just the web this way, but it's the web this way. And so even with password, he had to trick it and trick it and trick it and trick it until he discontinued my accounts. And so I'm not on any. I only have an email, but Facebook, Instagram, nothing I have now. And it was for some guidance that I had. And they said to me, do not have any personal profile up there. That if you must say something, say it under an organizational profile. So then he moved whatever talks I may have given and it went up. He moved them all into the BK's YouTube channel. And so he says, operate out of an organization if you must, but not with any personal profile out there, because it is going to be misused, and it's not just going to be misused at the level of impersonating you, but it's going to be misused at the level, energetic level, of manipulating your intellect. So eventually your intellect will be making decisions that you are not making, if you know what I mean. So he says, and these are people who know what they're talking about. So I feel that that worldwide, that internet, is a place that we should be cautious of. But that's an individual choice. Nobody could make that decision for you.
So you're making reference to AI and the influence of AI.
It was even before AI became so prevalent that I was being warned, but definitely AI will manipulate people's intellect.
So her question of how to help souls come back to...
Bob, that is real.
Yeah.
Okay. You have to ask yourself, why did you become a Brahmin? What is the purpose of your Brahmin life? That's the first question. The second question is, how does Baba want to use me as his instrument? And I think the third one is, what do people in the world ultimately will come to me for? How would they like to be served? And they will come to me to be served in that way. And I think that will really bring us back to the point of our lives. And this thing about serving. Am I here to promote a career? Am I here to take God's knowledge and manipulate it to become mine? What am I here for? I think these are fundamental questions we need to return to. And this is not the age to be rich and famous. The confluence is not the age to be rich and famous. So don't even go down that road. So I'm in my 50th year of Gyan, And I took Jnana in 1975. And so you may say, it took you 50 years to realize all these things. And I would say, no, it will take you less. Michel, and then you. Yeah.
Enchanté, Gayatri. Okay, if I have understood properly this morning, Molly, Baba say only the eight are really transforming themselves. And under the eight, it's something else. So should we have, for all of us, the aim to belong to the eight, and only when we target this aim absolutely, do we have a chance to transform ourselves? And if we don't have that aim, don't think about it, to transform yourself.
I think my understanding of what Baba said this morning was only the eight completely transform themselves. Everyone else transformed themselves, but to a lesser degree. But the transformation, what is the transformation? The transformation is a transformation of consciousness. It is a transformation from body consciousness to soul consciousness ultimately. And every single soul has to have that transformation in order to go back home, if not to come back to the golden age. And so, but they have to move away, and every soul will. And that is something I absolutely believe in. Every single soul from the 8.5, however many souls they are, billion souls, will experience that transformation, because every single soul will recognize God. And in that recognition of God, they will transform back to the consciousness of being souls. Eight souls are the souls who did it completely and perfectly and absolutely according to what Baba said to them. That's the difference. And they did it without having to repent for anything. The others will repent for a teeny weeny bit and become the 9. Another teeny weeny bit and become the 10th. But the 8, they did it in that complete way.
Thank you, Gayatri. I really liked what you have exposed today. I feel it's very essential. And I was wondering if you would be willing to share with us what it is that happened subtly with Nirvedbhai's passing that made you go into such a truth-finding process that I find admirable. But also, I was curious about the second question, because my mind was concentrated on the first and I didn't hear the second. I was on, why did I become a Brahmin, and I couldn't
hear. What will Baba use me as an instrument for?
Thank you.
Okay, I mean, there, I don't know where to start, but there, the point for me of being with Brother Nirvedbhai wasn't something I planned. I was on my way from Vietnam to New York, and I had to make a stopover in India in order to catch my flight back to New York. And that, the 18th, I needed to get on a flight. And so I arrived here in India on the 17th night and was getting my flight on the 18th, or some, yeah, 17th sometime, and was getting it on the 18th. And then I was told Brother Nirvedbhai was on a respirator. And so Dadi Kumarka was on a respirator and she came off. So I said, I couldn't be in India and know that he was on a respirator and not go see him. So then I started trying to change my ticket. And of course, changing your ticket is not the easiest thing. You have to end up buying a completely new ticket. So then I said, you know, maybe I shouldn't go see him because Baba won't want me to spend all this money, transactional again, to get this ticket to go and see him. So I'm transacting all these things in me. This is called transactional, right? And then I said, okay, I'm going to go on this flight and it's fine. And I'm about to get into the car to go to the airport. And the brother texted me, and said, I managed to get your ticket changed. And it didn't cost me a lot to do it. So it's fine. I booked you to come back, and it was like something like the 25th or something like that. So I said, okay, fine. And he said, I also booked you to Ahmedabad. So get on the early morning flight to Ahmedabad. So it all worked out very nicely when I surrendered. When I moved into the transformational domain of what Baba wants, leave it to Baba, leave it to drama, and you stop thinking. Daddy Janki used to tell us, don't think. Now I know what she means. So I then went thinking that, of course, you know, he will be fine. I just need to see him because I'm here. But when I arrived, I knew that it was serious. And so I ended up spending all that time in the hospital. And there was one point in which Karuna Bhai was there, and Karuna Bhai said to me, I will go home and rest because Karuna Bhai is not too well. And I said, yes, you go, you rest. And the only people that were left at the hospital was me, Urvashi, Pratap Bhai, and Nirvi Bhai's staff, all the brothers that took care of him. And we were sitting there, and then I'm watching the monitor. You know, it's like a movie. I'm watching the monitor, and I'm watching his heart flatten out in straight lines. And I'm standing there, and right up to his face, looking at him, and I keep saying, go, Nirvi Bhai, go. I don't know why I'm saying that to him. Baba is taking you, go. And I'm telling him in my mind all the beautiful things he's done for the double foreigners, how he opened his heart to us. But I was so strong. Now when I think about it, I get a little emotion, but I was so strong for him. But what I think struck me that really made me, you know, like, what is going on here, is I would watch his heart on the monitor flatten out the lines. And every time I'm talking to him in my mind, and every time I would say Nirvi Bhai, it would flip up. This line would just go up. And I would say, oh my God, I am sure he's no longer there because he was lying. He'd left the body. And this line would go up, but I would say Nirvi Bhai, and this line would go up. And I'm saying that means the heart, even though the body was not there, the heart was still responding to a sound. And that is what was happening, because if he was there, he would have come back.
So you were saying it out loud, Nirvi Bhai.
Huh?
You were saying out loud, Nirvi Bhai, and yeah, just in your mind.
Yeah, oh, okay. You know, it was a lot of love I was talking to him, and this thing would go up. And I would say, stop, Gayatri, don't say Nirvi Bhai. Don't say the words, Nirvi Bhai. Just be silent. Just be silent with him. Why can't you say, why you have to talk to him? Don't talk to him. And then I kind of calmed down. And then I looked around, because I thought Pratap Bhai was standing by me, and I looked around, I'm not seeing Pratap Bhai. And then I looked, he was by the door. And something fundamentally moved, and because I was looking at the transition of a senior yogi, and I have not ever done that. And how peacefully, how smoothly, and even if you're pulling them back, the heart is responding, but the soul is gone. And so it was an amazing thing for me. And I think it made me feel there is something about leaving the body that we must not underestimate as something ordinary. Because it's not ordinary. Not for yogis. It's not. Mm-hmm. And Sister Mohini the other day asked me a question out of the blue. How would you like to leave the body? Have you thought about it? And I said, what a question. How I would like to leave the body? I have never thought about that. So she says, you know, I feel you can determine how you'd like to leave the body. And I said, yeah, maybe. And then I always say to myself, when I leave the body, it would be like pulling hair out of soft butter. Mm-hmm. Like that. And so it put death, what we call death, what Baba calls leaving the body, in a different context for me. And I think what made me even more serious about the drills, it's to die. Those drills are become bodiless, mm-hmm. is leaving your body. But you're doing it at will. You're doing it experiencing, you know, that I'm not this body, I am this soul, and the soul is separate from the body. And I think Brahma Baba mastered that art. And that's why he left the way he left. Everybody else, in the midst of settling, the beauty of the leaving gets lost. And I think with Daddy Gulzar, Daddy Janki, Daddy G, all of them, we may have got caught in the grossness of the body and we lost the beauty of the transcendence. But Nirubhaya, I didn't lose that because I was right there and I saw the beauty of that. And then it made me kind of say for all of them, it would have been the same. But I wasn't there with them to witness the beauty of the transcendence and not, you know, the whatever was left for them through the body. And it's so easy for us to get pulled down by the gravity of the body and to stay with that. And the real moment of beauty then got lost. So with him, I stayed with that moment of beauty.
It's a privilege to have that experience, isn't it?
Yeah.
To witness a yogi leave the body.
Yeah. And if you were to ask nearby, would you like to have Gayatri by your bed at the time you're leaving your body? He would say no. And he would say why he said no. He would say, because she will fight with me and she won't let me leave the body. So, you know, it just happened. Mm. I mean, it was like, I even am so like, what? How could this have happened just like that? You know, nobody planned it, no desire, no nothing. Another thing that is transactional is our desires. Every time you have a desire, you're transactional.
Mm.
Yeah. Whenever there is a desire, you're in the transactional awareness. Okay, are we fine now?
I think we're good.